dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalls, ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM,
zip. Hello and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio number 121 for November 8th, 2005. I'm Strom Carlson.
I'm Black Ratchet. And who do we have with us this evening?
Hi, I'm Josh Prashares. How you doing?
Hey, Josh. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. I can't complain. Could, but it wouldn't be any good.
Did someone actually, like, use your real name on a show? I don't think we ever had that before.
I know. Don't hack for me.
Oh, my God. We're going to get owned. Well, thankfully for you, Josh.
Also known as Stoner Savant on the forums.
No. I'm just going to call you Stoner Savant because, I don't know, I feel comfortable that way.
Fair enough.
And I'll call him Josh so we can thoroughly confuse our audience.
Yes. If you're going to call him Josh, I'll call him Josh then.
Yeah.
Hey, play the memory lapse tone and then just call me Stoner.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Hi, I'm Stoner Savant.
Yes, we don't know what the heck we're doing.
All right. So welcome to another live episode. The call-in lines are open, and we actually have a call screener this time, a real honest-to-God call screener. Dr. Zygmunt is screening our calls. So if you want to call in, give us a call at 800-732-0442 from inside the U.S. or from outside the U.S., country code 1, area code 213-415-1047. And if Zygmunt turns out to be a really horrid call screener and can't handle the pressure, we'll find out, won't we?
Indeed we shall. All right. Well, I think it's just fun because I think I do enjoy palindromes. So the only housekeeping we have tonight is that, you know, this is episode 121, and palindromes are cool. And 121, for those of you who are familiar with the old school bell system codes, that used to lead you to the inward operator, and that was basically your magic toll ticket to the toll network. You used to be able to route yourselves all kinds of crazy places over there.
Hmm.
And lots of people are saying, oh my God, they're talking about telephones again. The topic for tonight actually is digital ethics, or as how to not be a moron on the internet.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be how to not be a moron on the interweb?
On the interweb, yeah, I guess you could say that too.
God, these things sound so weird when you actually say them out loud.
I know. It's a lot easier when you just spell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't sound like a moron saying it. Well,
yeah. Basically, I this thing just came to me a couple days ago. I just realized how disturbed I am at some of the noobish things people are doing online and some of the really idiotic, pathetic, you know, immature things that people do, and how much they kvetch and how much they complain. And basically, this is partially my rant against that.
Well, I mean, you know, complaining and being annoyed, complaining and everything, that's everyone's God-given right. You can't complain against that.
Yeah.
This is going to be more of a, you know, how to not be stupid on the internet. Be a good internet neighbor, I guess you could say it is.
Yeah.
We're going to have little Miss Manners show up on here, and she's going to tell you, you know, oh, don't own the fence, kiddies, or something, or and how to use the proper... How to use a proper fork when you're at a dinner with, you know, hacker friends. I don't know.
When you're eating with Mitnick, don't use the salad fork on your steak.
Exactly. I don't even know what the hell the damn salad fork is.
It's the smaller fork.
It's the smaller fork? Well, I'll keep that in mind next time. Call me old-fashioned.
Isn't that just three times as many dishes? I mean...
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
it's a fork.
I use my fork, I eat my salad, I put it back down on my napkin, and there we go. I can use it for my steak now. If you're really freaked out, you can just, like, you know, go suck off the salad dressing or something.
Suck off the salad dressing.
Exactly, that's what it is.
That sounds so wrong.
Yeah, you could really freak people out and just, oh, God. Yeah, you sick pervert. I didn't even think of that. I was thinking of just, like, someone going out there, sitting at a very fancy dinner party, and then just taking their tongue with their fork and going,
hanging the spoon off their nose.
Yes, exactly. Well, that's always a conversation starter. At any black tie event, I always go for the spoon on my nose, because people talk about it.
Works wonderfully at weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure if I ever got invited to a state dinner, I'm going to do the spoon trick. And, like, the President of France is going to be sitting next to me and goes, Sacre bleu!
Well, I'm sure that the President of France is doing enough of his Sacre bleu at the moment, so...
Yeah, I know, I was about to say. And then get a phone call that, like, you know, tons of Muslims are rioting and burning down cars. A grim milestone of 1,000 cars was reached today. It was horrible.
Yeah, well, that'd be better business for Renault when they start buying more of them.
Yeah, well, the problem is that Renault cars suck. Maybe this will make France buy better cars.
Perhaps. No more Renaults and Peugeots. That's what they're writing about.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, Peugeot's okay. They get a couple of nice rally cars, but Renault, yeah.
Anyway, we're drifting. I say let's do some email.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Our first email tonight is from Anonymous, and it
says, it's Anonymous.
Halloween was last week.
Oh.
I thought I'd point out that IDEA is not owned by RSA. It's owned by ETH Zurich, where it was created. As far as I know, the patent it has is valid in Europe only, although I may be mistaken about this. Communication via PGP/GPG complies to the Open PGP standard, RFC number 2440, and generally speaking, things work fine. If IDEA is disabled, there's plenty of other symmetric algorithms that use the Open PGP standard, supports DES, EDE, CASTS, Blowfish, SAFER, and some IDEs are reserved from DES/SK and various AES flavors. Anonymous.
That's an alphabet soup of encryption algorithms.
Yep.
What the heck do all these damn things mean? I know that it's not DES, it's DES.
DES?
I think they figure that the harder it is to remember what it means, the better the encryption is.
Ah, that's a good idea. That's something I've never thought of. And my question is how compatible with it? If I use, you know, DES to encrypt my message, do I have to tell my recipient that I use DES? Is there a way to tell via my ciphertext? I don't know. The other thing is what's so big about IDEA or IDEA or whatever they call it? Is it just, quote-unquote, more secure? I don't know. This whole thing confuses me. I'll encrypt my mail when I have something worthwhile to say. I won't be sending my mail off and encrypting pictures of my cat to my sister. Of course, it would be a good thing to, like, hide. You know, really, like, throw them off via obscurity. And our next email...
Yeah, it comes from someone called GH.
Yes. Does anyone else have any comments on Open PGP? I'm just confused. I'm horribly confused by it.
Yeah. I could throw more algorithms in there, but it's like blah, 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 blah.
Well, don't you use Open PGP or New PG or EIEIO?
I've been playing with it. I don't use it seriously at the moment. Oh, Teoxy in the channel says the ID is encoded in the message.
Ah. When did you get Teoxy on here? He's cool.
Yeah. So call in Teoxy and you'll get mad bonus points or bonus position in the queue. So GH sends us an email. Where I come from, we say router and doesn't give any sort of indication as to how he's supposed to pronounce that.
Yes, it's exactly how it's spelled. It's R O UTER.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'm going to thank him for clearing that up. But actually, the reason why we included this email is it reminded me to check our poll that we posted, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago?
Something like that, yeah.
And so, Strom, would you like to read our poll for us?
Yes. Our poll this evening rhymes with out 29 respondents for 74.36%, rhymes with boot 10 respondents for 25.64%.
So I guess
the consensus is route, not root.
Yeah, I guess that kind of makes sense with the whole root, R-O-O-T,
mm-hmm.
and stoners over there smoking
well,
up.
Well, I'm just thinking, if I go into Fry's and ask for a rooter, I'm going to feel like a tard. I mean, I automatically just assume, okay, that vicariously it's route, but...
If you go down to Australia and ask for a router, you'll get something completely different.
Yeah. And now, going through my head, I have called Roto Router. That's the name. And away go trouble down the train, Roto Router.
This episode of Bin Rev Radio brought to you by Roto Router.
Yes.
Actually, one of my favorite quotes from someone from Australia coming up to, I believe this is on Alt System in Recovery. He came up to the United States for a new job. And he's walking down the streets one day, and he sees a Roto-Rooter truck. Now, for those of you who don't know, root in Australia means something similar to fuck in American. So, you know, you could say, oh, boy, I rooted that girl last night. So he's walking down the street, and he sees this Roto-Rooter truck, and he says, the ideas flowing through my head from, like, you know, the Sirius Cybernetics Company Teledildonics Corporation was just absolutely disturbing, and I can see that. It's just very, very creepy, and this is also, you know, falls back to the infamous line back in the 1940s when they were selling Electrolux vacuum, saying nothing sucks like an Electrolux.
Exactly,
and it's one of those popular things that you need to know all local connotations of the word before you do an ad campaign. I believe that actually happened out in your area, where it actually started, if I'm not mistaken.
Something like that. I don't recall exactly.
I remember reading that someplace, but Lord only knows.
However, I do remember on a similar note that In-N-Out Burger at one point had stickers that said In-N-Out Burger, and it was fairly popular to get the sticker and then modify it to say In-N-Out Urge.
Well, the first time I actually heard of In-N-Out Burger, that's the first thing that popped in my head. I was like, what kind of, like, porn, Southern California porn thing is this?
And it's all friggin' fundamental Christians. What the hell kind of irony is that?
Well, because I think In-N-Out kind of took a different connotation back when the 1960s or so.
1947.
Well, no, that's when it started. So I think their term just kind of got perverted, as it were. To mean something else back then.
And maybe now, to atone for that, for all these years, like, holy crap, guys, we've been talking about sex. They print Bible quotes on the bottom of the cuffs, or, like, verses, chapter verses.
Yeah.
Oh, they did? That?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man. Oh, well, see, they don't have those out here. The first time I was introduced to it was with Strom and Redner at DEF CON. Mm-hmm. And Blake.
Oh,
Ops,
man,
yeah.
You need to look next time, look closer, you know?
Yeah, look underneath.
You're only seeing the surface of the conspiracy.
Well, see, you were my tour guide, Strom. You need to tell this to me. You should have said, no, check underneath the cup.
Yeah, I didn't want to scare you away too much.
They do make damn good burgers.
Yeah, they do. I'm happy to give them my money. I like the burgers.
It's all a great conspiracy to, you know. I bet they put, like, you know, fundamental Christian juice, and they put Jesus juice in the burgers. And they poison your mind.
Is Jesus the guy in the back that's, like, flipping the burgers? I mean, hey, Jesus, more juice! I can't go when you watch.
Actually, well, the reason why it's still fresh in my mind is that apparently someone has started making a wine called Jesus Juice.
Oh, boy.
A la Michael Jackson. It was on the smoking gun yesterday, for those of you curious.
Oh, God.
So.
All right.
Do you want to move on to the next email?
Fubster writes, hello, Black Ratchet and Strong. I listened to the episode of Bin Rev Radio in which you discussed the story about Dell putting the keylogger in their laptops. You debunked it as the obvious hoax that it was, but there was a bit of a twist to the story. I was the one who actually wrote that article. One day I was pretty bored and I was in IRC looking for something to do, and somehow the idea came up of writing a blog entry article. It was never really meant to be posted anywhere, it was more of just a fun thing. As I'm writing the article, I'm posting segments of it into the IRC channel. Someone in the IRC channel thought it would be a fun thing to, or thought it would be a funny idea to post the incomplete article to livejournal.com/childapreachparanoia, and it all spirals downhill from there. I finished the story, which can be found at Ratchet.
tinyurl.com/alphayankeegolf83.
And return to the IRC channel to find that the story has been posted to the above live journal. I don't really think much of it because it's a pretty stupid premise for a news story, and the incomplete article using stock photos is an obvious hoax. Pretty soon, Engadget picked up on the article and featured it on their site. It was reposted to several other news sources, and the lie spread. Since then, the story just hasn't seemed to want to die. I hope this clears up a few things. Fubster.
Well, Fubster, we're blaming you for the whole thing. See, I always took it as it was that guy from the white conservative Christian, everything's going to die and we're all going to go to Jesus Land talk show host. So I actually thought it was his site, but I guess he could have mirrored it, so I guess that could be it. And I'd like to make this as perfect evidence as the internet can snowball any rumor and just get way out of hand. My personal favorite story was there was this person, I believe she was at Emerson College in Boston, and she made some type of online petition, and what she wanted to say was, if you like this petition, please mail me, and then forward this to all your friends. And this was around 1998, 1999, when the internet was just really taking off and email was the big thing. And everyone forwarded it, and everyone started mailing her, because it was like one of those things of women's rights in Afghanistan or Iran or something. And the university had to shut down her account because in the matter of approximately 48 hours, she already filled her quota about 5 times over. And she was just getting more and more messages. It was absolutely hilarious and quite humorous and just kind of really proved to me like behold the power of the internet, as we can say. But as I say, this basically, you know, proves the rumor that is a hoax. Fubster, we're not sure if you're yanking our chain. Well, personally, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, but either way, we can just sort of point to this email and say, ha-ha, he did it. It's all a lie. He said so. And that's it. So it's silly and stupid, and therefore should never, ever, ever be repeated ever again. Enough said.
So now for our call-in question, we have Booter on the line.
Booter!
Oh, yeah.
How is Dr. Sigmund? Did he do an okay job?
Oh yeah, he did great.
Did you were you making humorous remarks about us on the whatever that was? I don't know. Whatever you'd call that, the call-in queue.
Yeah. I had a kind of an idea. I think I mentioned Strom and IRC like a week or so ago about possibly sending out like a soundboard for like phone tones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically, you know, if someone doesn't recognize a certain tone, maybe we can, like, gather together a bunch of tones, put it on a soundboard so they can go and, you know, click on it on the soundboard and listen to it and figure out what it is, or, you know, people just trying to figure out what certain tones are, you know, something like that, they can just, like, refer to it.
Well, the way I sort of looked at it was there's not too many tones currently in use.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
just thinking of doing modern tones, right? Not the older type tones.
Yeah, I mean, or you could separate, you know, do two different ones. But you know, I'm not a freak, so you know, I really don't know how many tones and shit are out there. But
well, I mean,
it's just an idea I had.
There are several sources. For the most part, all the modern tones are specified as a specific combination of specific sine wave frequencies. So all you'd need to do is look up the Belcour spec for those, and then put that on a soundboard. You could generate those with any software that can generate sine waves and mix them together.
You can generate them on a synthesizer board.
Yeah.
The thing that I can pop on for most recordings is thisisarecording.com, and I completely forget who runs it. A girl named Jen, a online persona named Jen. Who knows if she's actually real or not? She used to run the webpage you have reached. And it's she has tones for everything. And I also believe that freaksandgeeks.com has some tones. And I think the only real tones that are used today are ACTS tones and on some occasion, well, I don't know what you would call it.
Yeah, well, there's the ACTS tones for the payphones, and then there's, you know, obviously touchtone, and then people don't know the difference between like a busy signal and a reorder, for example.
If you don't know the difference between a busy signal and a reorder, you deserve to be smacked.
Yeah. Or they don't know what high tone sounds like or whatnot, so you know, it might be a good idea, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what would you call coin control signaling, like coin return and coin release, or coin collect and coin return?
I'd have to look up in the Belcore spec what those are what those are actually called.
Yeah, I forget. Green box tones, that's what they are.
I'll have an answer for you next week, because I don't feel like dragging out the 1,500-page document and paging through it on the radio live.
Well, neither do I, so that's why I asked you.
It was just an idea that, you know, I had. I Googled for like an hour. I never saw anything, so I thought that was something. I have another question. Have y'all heard of anything about what may go down on the 11th with a default?
Oh well, no. Yes, Veterans Day is happening. It's a wonderful holiday, and people should be extremely respectful of the veterans and those who are currently serving overseas, protecting us.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you laugh, but I'm kind of serious. I don't know. None of us know. I don't think anyone does. I was talking to Stank a couple of days ago, and he doesn't know either.
So, yeah.
Okay.
No one knows. We'll just have to wait and see. Thanks,
yes,
Pooter.
Welcome. That's no problem. Good show, guys. Y'all keep up the good work.
Thanks.
Yeah, go. If you when you finish that, that whatever the phone soundboard. That's
soundboard,
we'll plug that on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Alright.
Wait to see it, man.
Tell you later.
Later.
Take it easy.
Did Stoner drop off, or is he just sitting in the
I'm
background?
No, I'm still here.
He's there.
I'm furiously taking notes, and by taking notes, I mean zombieing back into my old IRC habits.
Yes, well,
I gave up IRC and went cold turkey a couple years ago, and, you know, I'm trying to walk the line, but the scrolling white and black text is just hypnotic. I'm sorry, I'm here though.
Yeah.
Cool.
Feel free to jump in any time. Don't think that we're just sort of ignoring you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only thing I have to relate is so completely non sequitur. I use certain various tones depending on my mood as my ringtone for my cell phone. Strom knows a little bit about that, which is it's got me out of some handy situations. But on a deeper level than that, I can't really relate. I thought it'd be pretty cool to have like a game memory, but with various obscure DTMF tones and all the other tones, just because I'm like a monkey and can learn things through repetition.
What you need to play is the Strom Carlson touch tone game.
Yes.
Like the Strom Carlson touch tone game on Esoteric Crack.
For those of you who haven't played the Strom Carlson touch tone game, if you go to my website, if you go to stromcarlson.com, I have my PBX number on there. And if you dial it, there is an option at the main menu to play a touchtone game. And what it is it plays touchtones at you, and then you have to dial them back in, kind of like what is that memory game that's popular?
Simon.
Yeah, kind of like Simon, except with touchtones.
Simon for freaks.
Yeah, and it teaches you to decode touchtone by ear.
All right. Well, if I disappear for a while after that and you hear some faint tones in the background, I apologize in advance. I do have moderate to severe attention deficit disorder.
I think we all suffer that. That's why I turned off the TV, and I ignore everything while I'm doing this radio show. Otherwise, I'd just be going there and going,
I'm sorry, who are you?
What? What? We're doing a radio show?
Yeah, well, a radio. Oh,
no, shit.
Okay.
No.
All right. Our final email is from Justa, and he says, "Hello, I have a quick question. Are you guys going to have an available RSS feed soon? Also, will you have the radio program available for download via podcasting? Thanks, Justa."
Well, yes. Yes, we do. And it's been up there for a while. I think it's been up there before Strom and I came on. Yeah, it's been up there since about, like, I'd say, probably like mid-80s or so, episode-wise, possibly. I don't know. Anyway, it's www.binrev.com. /radio/podcast, and you can basically search any podcast aggregating engine out there, because Stank, when he first got into this, he got really, 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 really into it and submitted us to about every podcast aggregator known to man, And he was obsessed, like, for about a month doing this. Like, I would be talking to him over on IM, and he's just like, oh, dude, I found this voting website for podcast aggregators, and I voted us to number one because they have horrible security. So he voted us for number one, and he kept us for number one for about a week, and then he emailed the website and said, yeah, you might want to fix this. And they like, bumped us back down to where we were beforehand. He, like, found a, could, like, vote, like, once from each IP every hour or something, or 2 hours. So he just loaded up a ton of proxies. And he would, like, do it, like, every hour or so. It was pretty humorous. I really don't know what you're talking about for an RSS feed. That I'm confused. I mean, I guess you could say the podcast is an RSS feed, because that's what podcasting is. I really don't think we have one for the BinRev site. I may be wrong, but that's really not my department, you know. I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. I think the forums have an RSS feed. However, upon looking, I really can't seem to find one that's obvious. Plus, I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes. I'm not trying to insult Nick or Stank or anyone else who can update the website. We really hardly update the front page, so why the hell would you want an RSS feed for it? If you're really obsessed, just, you know, pop in every week and read the damn thing. That's what I do. I normally don't even read the front page. So normally it's someone mentioning it in one of the forums saying, oh, the front page, check it out. And I'm like, oh, I should update that. Check it out and find out what the hell's going on. So, I don't know. Do you know if we have an RSS feed, Strom?
No clue whatsoever. I haven't even played with RSS.
Yeah, I personally don't find RSS interesting at all, besides podcasting. Podcasting is cool, but as for, like, you know, headlines and, you know, it's good for syndication between sites, but as for, like, RSS readers and everything, doesn't interest me in the least. I mean, I think the only time I ever used it was on Slashdot. They use it to, you can, like, subscribe to different sites and get handy tidbits of information, but that's about it. Nothing else.
And now Google.com has that built into their information or their personal portal. So, I mean, you really don't even need to go beyond that. Well, at least that's my foray into RSS.
No, so what does Google have this built into?
Google.com/IG. You can personalize your homepage. And so you can have RSS feeds at your Gmail along with, you know, local news, movie times, Slashdot's one that they come prepackaged with. And I believe now is the latest update. You can include your own RSS feeds, but I'm far too lazy to find out and hold the phone at the same time. No, that looks like it's right.
See, he did it for you. He did it for all of you listeners. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I'm personalizing my Yahoo homepage. I'm totally fearing the front page of Yahoo. Google will start looking like the front page of Yahoo, and that scares me. It scares me like there's no tomorrow. So, that sort of wraps it up for email. Mm-hmm. Strom, what the hell have you been doing this week?
Going hacking through a personal crisis. No hacking.
No hacking?
No hacking.
Oh, that's thing. Didn't you do something with Asterisk? I forget what it was.
Did I?
Yeah. Possibly. Nothing memorable, I guess.
I've just been getting the call-in stuff working.
Mm.
So we have a real call screener.
Well, you get that. We actually set up you set up the real call screener. How is that actually working? Are you, like, talking via two different asterisk boxes and everything?
Okay, the way it works is, you know, we have the callers come in on the asterisk box in Colo. By the way, if you want to experience this in real time, you can call us at 800-732-0442 from the U.S. or from from outside the U.S., 1-213-415-1047. Anyway, when you call one of those numbers, it goes to our asterisk box in Colo and sits there in the queue. And then Zygmunt is our call screener, is sitting at the other end of the queue, and your call is answered in the order it was received. And
do we have, like, you know, little, like, hold music with you saying,
your
estimated wait time is 15 minutes.
Actually, asterisk can do that. I haven't bothered to set it up yet, though.
Oh, really? It can?
Yeah, it can totally do that.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And
I was unaware of that.
Yeah. I'll have to do that when we actually get people calling so much that that we have to queue them up.
Yeah, which people should do? Hint, hint.
Yes. Call.
I hate the tangent, but while we're talking about asterisk hacking, did anybody follow that link? There's one link in the forums. Excuse me while I drag it up. But anyway, the guy did Bluetooth proximity detection for asterisk. And the gist of those, for the people who haven't read it, it's whenever the guy is near his computer, his calls are automatically routed to his desk. But whenever his Bluetooth beacon no longer detects his Bluetooth MAC address for a headset that he'd carry around with him, then it would automatically route to his cell phone. That's probably the coolest friggin' idea I've heard for a cheap hack in a really long time.
Indeed. I didn't see this in the forums. Dad has sent it to me via IM. I guess he posted it on the forums too. But yeah, that was awesome. And what I was thinking would be really cool is say if you could expand the idea and say, here's how Stoner's explained it pretty well. It's the guy has a asterisk server and he has a Bluetooth transceiver plugged into it on the USB port, and then he has a has a Bluetooth headset. And what the headset does is it, you know, transmits away, and whenever the Astro server sees the Bluetooth headset, when it can see it, and Bluetooth only goes about, I don't know, 20, 30, 50 feet. And so when the Bluetooth server when the Astro server sees a Bluetooth headset, it, you know, routes it to a desk, and if not, it routes it to a cell phone. What I was thinking is, why don't we expand upon this idea and find a way of me putting like a Bluetooth transceiver at my work computer and a Bluetooth transceiver, say, at my fiance's house, and, you know, just carry around the headset with me, and wherever it just runs us like daemon on every computer, and it says it just checks in back with the Astro server, and the Astro server knows where the route to phone call.
Yeah, that's
pretty damn sweet.
Yeah,
pretty solid for vaporware. I mean, like, that, you could totally develop that.
Yeah, no, that'd be dirt simple. It's just more of a finding a way of interconnecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you do it through IAX? You know, you've got the toggled, so the Bluetooth is being sensed in one location, then maybe that triggers an event in Asterisk that sends a beacon to the other boxes that says, hey, trigger yours is off until someone says otherwise. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
You can do a register or something.
Well, no, what I was thinking more of is, you know, just take Asterisk out of the equation for those other two boxes and just have something that will route the just know where the heck everything's going. Because what this actually happened was what actually caused me to think of this. This isn't actually a completely original idea. Back in the days, if anyone's I assume everyone knows VNC, and what VNC is, for those of you who don't know, is basically a way of pulling up desktops via the internet. Like, you know, you can run it on a certain computer and then run a client on another computer, and the server computer, when you connect to it via the client, it brings up the screen on the server, like exactly like you were sitting at the console. And this was developed by a group of researchers from AT&T who worked at Cambridge, United Kingdom. And what they used to do is they used to try to make transparent computing. Like, they'd carry around this little transceiver on their belt and walk in whatever computer they'd sit down at, their desktop would pop up using VNC.
That's pretty sweet. Like, through RFID? Or what did they do back then?
Well, it was like a very proto RFID. I think it was sort of like you'd have something. I'm not sure where you're from. Those like Easy Pass or those highway transponders that you can get
sure.
through. I think it was like basically one of those. It was.
Okay.
And,
yeah,
like,
we call that fast track here in California.
Yeah, we call them. I don't know. I completely forget what they call it. Easy Pass? No, that's not what the hell it is.
Easy Cheese.
Yeah, Easy Pass is what everyone else calls it on the East Coast, but we call it something else.
Yeah, it's a little box about
by about a half inch tall by about I'd say about 5 inches square.
Yeah, 5 inches square. Well, no, not 5 inches square. It's like ours are maybe like 3 inches by 3 inches by maybe a half an inch or a quarter inch thick or something.
Ours are kind of bigger than that, I think.
Yeah.
Either way, it was pretty cool, and what they could do is they could basically they had like transponders hooked around the entire building, and they would like measure the signal strength, and they'd get a rough location of where you were. They did some crazy shit over there. I remember like being a freshman in college, going to their website and saying, I want to move here and work at this place. It was pretty sick.
I think that on an internal LAN you could script up something quick enough. I think the real problem would be getting it to off-node devices. You might be able to do something really crude with AIM or something. Or I've been playing around with this box by a company called Peplink, and it's essentially the size of a medium book. It's called a manga, and it runs a full-blown version of Linux. It's got an ARM processor at, I think, 400 megahertz, you know, typical pocket PC. And this one happens to have two Etheros wireless cards in it. So anyway, this little box runs Linux. You can give it to your grandma who doesn't understand a damn thing except for unplug it if it freaks out and plug it back in. And you could have it handling, you know, acting as an asterisk node or routing all these calls or even serving as intelligence for a Bluetooth beacon. I think they're like $400. Don't quote me on that. I think it's a little
pocket change.
Well, like, you know, I mean, if you've got the money to tinker with crap that burns your time worse than video games, then yeah, check out this box. They finally just got Asterisk running really well on it without a timing device. There's no PCI slots on it, so you're kind of stuck there. But it makes an awesome attack allowed, mounts in your car. You can hook it up to your car battery. It's like 4 volts, and then you can run web attacks if you're into that sort of thing.
Not that we condone breaking into wireless networks, especially if you're in Westchester County, New York, because that's now if you run an unsecure wireless network, you're going to get busted by the police.
And that's creating new jobs. God bless America. Now somebody has to go around and professionally war drive.
Dude, where do I send my resume? That'd be sweet.
Seriously.
I'm sure you send it to Westchester County Police.
Yeah.
Unless they give you like the meter maid mobile, and then there's just like a little laptop cruising on there. Then people would hate you just as much and try to steal your shit.
Our meter maids used to drive these like cheap Cherokees over here.
Well, they get like clown cars from hell, like from cyber hell over here.
Well, screw that.
The last time I saw a meter maid, they actually just walk along pushing a little cart with a handle, and they take the little cartridge out of the meter and twist it onto the box, and all the coins drop in, and they twist the cartridge back and keep walking along.
Oh, no. Well, in Berkeley, they have little RoboCop one-man all-terrain vehicles that just sort of cruise in and out of traffic to hunt you down.
Oh, God.
I know the parking enforcement people have, like, these bizarre three-wheeled vehicles from whatever movie that was.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That sounds about right. They're three-wheeled. They're like little one-person cruiser mobiles.
Yeah.
They get 20 miles per hour downhill with a breeze, tops.
Mm-hmm.
And they have
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
our full-fledged police in Boston have that, but in my hometown, Lynn, they actually had these like, you know, nice cheap Cherokees for a while. I was like, wow. Of course, now I don't think we have any, or at least they don't come around here anymore. Actually, the fun thing, I had an amusing story in Boston. I was walking along and I saw a meter maid ticket a Verizon truck, and I didn't know who to get angry at and who to side with.
Oh, God.
Because I was like, normally I'd be like, oh, the fucking meter maid. And then I would say, then there was a Verizon, and I don't like Verizon. So I was like, I don't know who to like in this situation.
Well, it's like the devil ass-raping the heretics. Wait a second.
Yeah, I don't know where you're going with this, so we're just going to move. Here
I know where I'm going with ire.
I believe the phrase you were looking for, Strom, was, ha ha!
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I eventually think I decided on, you know, just appreciating the irony of the situation and just being amused. Oh, jeez. Right. You know, what happened to me? I haven't told anything this week. It's my turn. We're talking about you two guys and Asterisk and doing nothing and... My turn. I got all kinds of stuff that happened to me this week. First off, Visual Studio Express got released out of beta. And what Visual Studio Express is really toned down versions of Visual Studio. And if for anyone who, you know, wants to program Microsoft, download these programs. They're not that bad. They're kind of stripped down, and they're not as like good as professional or standard versions of all the Microsoft IDEs. But they're free, so hey, you know. What are we going to do? Actually, the bit of a bad part about this is apparently Saturday night my computer started making horrible noises down in my basement, which is my server that holds everything for my network. And I turned it off, and I turned it back on, and nothing happened. So it either alternated between, you know, not booting at all or not posting and just a blank screen, or booting up and then crashing about 2 hours later. And apparently, on top of that, one of my hard drives has started to die, so I now need to go figure out and replace that. Thankfully, it was part of a raid, so Lord only knows what's happening. And the bad thing about losing the server is that it also runs all of my asterisk stuff and all my VoIP. So I've had to configure my laptop, which is a P2-233, to run asterisk and handle all of my phone calls. And right now, as it stands...
What kind of call volume?
Thankfully, little to none, because I don't think it can handle that much. But I'm being routed through it right now. For example, I'm being very careful of where I put my feet, because my laptop is at my feet, and it has one of those little barely hanging on dongles with my Ethernet cord. And if that goes, basically, I think everything trashes.
So we'll try and make noises, which we'll try not to make noises which attract your cat.
Yeah, well, no, my door is shut, so I actually did think about that, because that was one of my horrible scenarios. So, but that was fun. I actually, 233, it can handle like 4 or 5 lines off my Cisco phone, and I think it could handle all 6, but unfortunately, I don't remember the password for one, so oh well. And all of the configuration stuff for the Cisco phone is on that server that's currently dead. So I'm this is why we just don't have everything on one server, folks. Mm-hmm. This is why I like redundancy, but I think it just crashed because it knew I was going to replace it soon, because I'm going to replace it with something a little bit faster. So it's exacting its revenge.
It lost its will to live, basically.
Yes. So download Visual Studio. That's my one good thing this week. I'm going to be at the Boston release party for Visual Studio for anybody in the Boston area, and they're going to this. If you want to meet up or go out for lunch or bash Microsoft while taking free software. That's basically why I'm going, is they're offering free versions of Visual Studio. So screw this. I'm just going for the free software.
We've got a compliment on hold. Should we just take the compliment?
A compliment on hold.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
All right.
I'll see why I don't want to compliment us. Might as well get it out of the way now, because probably after this topic, people are going to be spewing bile at us. Do we have our compliment person?
We have our now we do. Hello, Y-Man?
Hello. Is this
Y-Man? This is Black Ratchet with the person previously talking to you, with Strom Carlson.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Strom. Well, I just wanted to congratulate you on a great show. I've been enjoying the podcast version. I haven't really listened to it live on the stream. I'm not listening to it live now, so I don't really know what the topic is either.
Well, thankfully for you, we didn't actually start the topic yet.
Okay. All right. I did have a suggestion. Are you guys planning on putting the stream on for the music on hold, or is that not a possibility yet?
That might be a little complicated.
I think we can do it, but it's all Strom, and Strom has better things to do, like real life. So I think it's on the to-do list, and I think it'd be very cool, and I think it's possible, but it's more of a question of working it out.
Yeah.
If you look over at Strom's desk right now, he has, 15 different parts of servers running asterisk, and they're all held together with duct tape and chewing gum, and he has a bit of a step-by-step switch that's routing all the phone calls.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are doing a third live show. Or maybe it's a fourth live show. I don't know. I haven't listened in about a week, I guess.
I think it's our third one.
Yeah, I think it's number three.
I'm liking this live.
Hey, I want to also tell Dr. Zygman, since he answered the phone, I also enjoyed the Hack TV. I pulled down the first one, watched that, and then I've yet to watch the next one, the preview.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
I'm actually maybe we can work Zygmunt on here, because I think I'm curious if he has a date on when the new Hack TV might be released, but we'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah,
because I think it's approaching the final steps. But we don't have a release date yet.
Okay.
All right. Cool.
All right. Well, thank you.
Continued success, and I will talk to you again.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Having a call screener. Yeah, our first live compliment. Having a call screener is a luxury among luxuries, let me tell you.
Yes, and it's no longer me suddenly asking you a question and you not being there.
Yes. It's not like Strom Carlson becomes the Funiac Telephone Company of BinRev Radio.
Yeah, I think two people got that. Oh yeah, I completely forgot to mention this. My last bit of stuff that I've been doing this week, I've recently purchased a Sidekick 2. I got it from all my birthday money that I got. My birthday was last weekend, so I went out and got one, and well, lucky me. My fiance coordinated it with all my presents where everybody was just giving me cold hard cash, which is always really nice when you open up a card and see cold hard cash, so I got a cell phone. I'm no longer using my old and busted Sidekick 1 that the backlight doesn't work on and certain buttons don't really work. So, yes. Not Theory's probably screaming in agony right now if he actually listens to the show. Probably looking at his broken one and hurling it back up against a wall. Because he's weird.
Very weird.
Yes. We love you, Not Theory.
Heart.
All right. Well, that's all of my stuff. We actually had a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah,
we're just skilled. Mm-hmm. Anyway,
should we get into our topic for this week?
Yes,
the topic that will make everyone love us forever.
Yeah, I'm quite sure that the bile is going to flow during this episode, and people are going to call in. And
yes, so again, take down our number because you're going to want to call and bitch us out. It's area code 800-732-0442 within the U.S. or from outside the U.S., country code 1-213-415-1047. So our specific show topic this week, I don't know if we picked a catchy phrase for it, but
I think digital ethics would be the best one. It sounds a whole lot more. Yeah, it sounds like a whole lot more serious than what it is. Basically, what it is don't be a moron on the interweb. And actually, I found this amusing while doing research for this. If you type in computer ethics into Google, the first web page it returns is ethics.csc.ncsu.edu, and it leads to a 404. So apparently there are no computer ethics on the Internet. I found that oddly hilarious. So, okay, basically what this is stuff that people consider, you know, okay on the Internet but really shouldn't, or stuff that, yeah, I don't know.
I should probably start off by talking about what inspired me to think this topic up.
Okay.
And I guess inspiration would probably not be the best word, but, you know, I've been reading on the forums that there are, you know, occasionally on the forums we'll come up with something new and exciting and interesting. Like, one example that comes to mind is GoEeks.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine pointed me at GoEeks, which had free outgoing calls to the United States.
Oh, you can drop the name.
Huh?
You can drop the name.
It was Mark Brunet, of course. Mark Brunet pointed me to GoEeks and to free outgoing calls to the U.S. And I said, hey, this is really awesome. Let me share it with the community. So I posted it on the BinRev forums. And immediately everyone signed up for an account. And then all of a sudden, a couple days later, I see people are starting to scan out the internal numbering plan for GoEeks. I said, well, okay, I guess it's not so bad because people are, in fact, only scanning out the internal numbering plan. They're not really using up any of GoEeks' money by connecting to the PSTN. And then a short time later, GoEeks shut down their outgoing service because people were war dialing and scanning and abusing the service.
And when we're talking about war dialing, we're not talking about, like, you know, war dialing a whole number. I've heard unconfirmed reports about certain people, none of which I actually know personally, but people actually going out and war dialing basically a whole area code, like, you know, not a whole area code, but like a whole exchange, like, you know, 10,000 freaking numbers in a night,
mm-hmm.
which is, whoa, which, you know, bad props to them, but still, God.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that came to mind was there was a thing with, do you remember the Folgers cards?
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, Folgers at one point was giving out free Sprint phone cards. And there was a loophole in the system where you could, I forget how it works. You could, like, change your email address or something, and they would give you another card for free. And you could basically get as many cards as you wanted, although you were only supposed to get one. So it was like a 10-minute phone card. And So
I think it was actually a 30-minute phone call, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it was 30 minutes or two. It was some not terribly long, but not terribly tiny either, phone card. And so this was all fine and dandy until people started downloading, massive numbers of card numbers. And they were exchanging lists, just unthinkably huge numbers of phone cards. And, I mean, this is hundreds and hundreds of hours of long-distance minutes. And, you know, it just struck me as so pathetic that people were joyously abusing this free service, which, it's cool to have free phone cards offered to you, but if someone tries it and it gets abused, people aren't going to want to do it again. So you ruin it for the rest of us.
Like, people are gathering, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of, like, obscene numbers. People have, like, lists, like, a mile long. And basically what this boils down to is just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, all right. Well, let's go get into the meat of the matter right here. So, do you want to get the phone number out again?
Yeah. If you want
213-415-1047.
Yeah, or if...
Wow, I got it right. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's right. Or if you want to call toll-free for within the U.S., 800-732-0442. We know you hate us now. Call.
Yes. And if you don't hate us now, oh, just wait a couple minutes here, because we got a nice little laundry list of stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the big kahuna of them all, breaking into computer systems. And here's how I feel, and I'm not sure how Strom does on this one. No matter how right you feel you may be, it's the same as breaking into a house. I don't care if it's just sitting there, or I don't care, oh, I won't destroy anything. It's the same as me saying to you, well, since you're gone out of your house, I'll just break into your home, and I'll make sure I didn't break anything, so no harm done, right? And something tells me you won't say yes to that. I mean, yes, the temptation is there, and it's a siren's call that we've all heard, and I can remember being young and rationalizing it away. And I never did it, mainly because my mom taught me the moment I did something wrong, I would get caught, and I knew as soon as I did it, the FBI would come swooping in via their helicopters and crashing into my windows with their MP5s and their gas masks and all that stuff, and as soon as I, decided to break into a computer. Stop snickering. I was young and stupid. I don't know. The way I look at it is, rationalize it all you want. Same as breaking into a house. No matter how you want to try and bury it under straw man arguments or say it really isn't or, something else, it's stupid. It really is. If you really want to do it, there's non-illegal alternatives. I don't know. We'll get into those later. So
on an honest interesting side note, I've actually put up last week a honeypot on my system. I found an old a computer lying around that I wasn't doing anything with, found a hard drive, threw it in there, put Debian on it, opened up an FTP server, totally anonymous FTP, did nothing else, stuck it on my network, and I'm just letting it sit there right there on the internet, not behind a router or firewall or anything, and I'm waiting to see what happens. Should be
anything yet?
Has nothing happened yet?
No, nothing's happened yet. I think I've had... how long has the system been up? Let me see. It's only been up 2 days.
Well, hey, man, I got an idea. Throw a Linux version of VMware on there and run the same experiment but with a virtual Windows box in the DMZ so we can actually put those statistics that you hear flying around that an unpatched Windows system will last 12 minutes online.
Mm-hmm. Well, the honeypot system does. The honeypot project does that. And it's like 12. It's like, I think it's up to 14 now. They've increased it from like 12 to 14 minutes.
So they have like the pwned meter now from now on? Just
the
like,
pwned, dude, that'd be sweet. Oh, my God. The pwned meter. We just update it every day. How long did a Windows box last today? We reset it at midnight. And we just count from here on in, and we can just graph the results.
You could gamble on that, too. I mean, think about it. If you could guess a fluctuation, Vegas would eat that up. DEFCON next year.
Oh, my God. That'd be great. I'd bet
really?
On that. Strom, get on this. Chop, chop.
Okay. The pwnometer.
Exactly.
Yes.
We have reached pwn orange status. Orange.
Dude, we can have, a little coloring system. We're currently at Elmo.
This is a pink alert. Pink alert.
Oh, my God.
The outage is near. Far. Sorry. Okay.
We've upgraded to fuchsia. I don't know, Stoner. How do you feel about this whole thing about breaking into computers? And
I'm not going to lie like my parents did to me when I asked them about pot and say that I haven't done it or that I didn't do it and I didn't enjoy it. However, I write off most of that as, I don't know, prepubescent angst. And then I got my first girlfriend and all that went away and I was too busy trying to get laid to actually bother breaking into websites. So now I'm single again for a year and a half. Woohoo! And I'm like, oh yeah, I can still do this. And nowadays, now that I'm legally accountable for it, I would stay away from it. But more than that, it's like there's the intellectual puzzle stimulation that you're craving. You can find that in other areas. And I found it recently in working for computer security professionally. You know,
mm-hmm.
cleaning up after the Eastern European bloc hackers break in, steal trade secrets, and sell them to a competitor. That's really freaking interesting to me. You're telling me that chasing after Troika gangster online criminals is less interesting than pwning someone's Yahoo page? I mean, if you just keep your nose clean, there's plenty of opportunity.
Is your company hiring? I'd love to do that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get full-time work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I would say that I haven't broken into the system, but when I do break into the system, it was completely legal. And it was basically, I loved the feeling of it. It was just, I can understand the rush. I can understand why certain people do it. I've participated in Capture the Flag tournaments in my university, and it's an incredible feeling when you're sitting there and you're just looking at a root prompt of someone else's box. You're like, holy shit, I just did that. So, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it's stupid, you shouldn't do this, you know, I'm not doing the whole Gruff McCrimegog thing, but at the same time, I am saying it's stupid, just don't even bother.
And there are ways to do it without even pissing anybody off. I know that of my nerd friends, a large number of them happen to be web developers or web hosts, and what kind of web host does not want a free penetration test or an audit service? I mean, granted, just get permission ahead of time, but right now, my friend who runs a small website development company in San Diego here, he bet me $50 in beer and pizza that I couldn't read the message that he left for me in Flash Root on his box. And I've been slowly, stealthily attacking this thing for the past 3 or 4 months. Last night I got pro FTP password hashes. Those are running in John right now. I'm having the time of my life, and at the end of it, he's going to thank me. There's plenty of other venues.
Oh no, I really don't want to give out his website, so I'll have to check with him. So someone I vaguely know, and he basically did the same thing. One of his friends said, I don't think you can break into my computer. And he said, oh, okay, do you want me to try? And he said, sure, go right ahead. And he basically did like you. He just did it for a month or two, and he eventually found like something that was questionable security, and he basically just followed the breadcrumb trail all the way back to route to his friend's box. And his friend said, oh, holy shit, I didn't think of that. So, that's what it is. It's great. So there's tons of legal ways you can get your same little kicks and rushes and everything. You don't need to go own Yahoo or own WhiteHouse.com or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, I mean, there are fun things to do every now and again just to see what can happen. Like, for example, I've sat in a cafe with an unencrypted Wi-Fi and just kind of looked at the traffic going past and seeing what are people doing, what are people logging into, but that doesn't mean even though I see their password scrolling past on my screen, that doesn't mean I decide, OMG, I'm going to pwn their MySpace account.
Right. Well,
if they have a MySpace account, they really just deserve it.
We love you, Sammy.
Pardon?
Sammy is the guy who wrote the JavaScript self-propagating cross-scripting exploit in MySpace that added, it was like something like several thousand users per second were automatically adding Sammy as their favorite person on their profile, and it crashed MySpace for a couple hours. So, we love Sammy. But you bring up an interesting point. I mean, where do you draw the line? Is it okay to sniff unencrypted traffic inside of a cafe hotspot as it goes by? I mean,
I did it once or twice just for, you know, just for educational purposes, just to see how easy it was and see what it was like. But,
I'm not pointing the finger. Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as something I would go and do every day, every week for a year, 2 years, 5 years, I don't think I'd do it. And first off, it gets boring. And secondly, you know, there are better things to do.
I mean, if you can honestly ask yourself, am I doing this for the right reason? And if the temptation comes along, just know that you're not going to fuck with it. Well, then I can't say that that they're doing any harm. I personally believe that everyone should encrypt everything they're sending from any sort of public internet connection, but that's, you know, beating a dead horse.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's one of those really hazy gray areas. I mean, that's personally, I've never done it. I have war-driven, but at the same point, I always try to make sure that I'm turning the, what the heck they call it, the actual sniffing portion off. I mean, I basically log AP names, I log where they are, I log signal strength, and I have all the charts so I can make all the pretty little maps and everything, which is really what I love to do. I don't know why, but it's one of those things.
It's like a giant etch-a-sketch or a twist of paint.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Spiral art. Yeah, it's like Wi-Fi spiral art.
Spiral art. That's exactly what it is. That's a great analogy. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about that. I can understand how people say, you know, it's educational, it's all kinds of stuff. But when you're doing that in a, you still basically are owning other people. You're not doing anything to it. But at the same time, like I said, it's a hazy gray area. I have a hard time, you know, condoning it, but I have a hard time finding fault with it because it's just sitting there. I mean, it's one thing if you're actually going out and physically doing it, but at the same time, if you just, you know, fire it up, these people are transmitting signals to you, whether they like it or not. It's one of those horrible things. And this is why psychologists make tons and tons of money. And lawyers, for that matter.
Oh, yeah.
So,
toll
next
fraud.
Thing,
yeah.
Toll fraud. Well, do you want to do this one?
Yeah, I'll talk about the toll fraud thing. You know, it's fun for, like, educational purposes. You just to do once to see if it's possible. As an example, you know, there was a time when I realized that directory assistance from a payphone, occasionally you can get those calls for free without having to do anything, without having to, you know, bring any extra equipment to the payphone, even when it's asking you for money. And I'm like, I wonder if this will work based on my knowledge of how TOPS works. And I did it, and it worked. I said, okay, cool. That's an interesting flaw in TOPS. Now I'm never going to do it again because that satisfies my interest. But, I mean, for the most part, toll fraud is fun sometimes for learning and for discovering how the system works. But as far as actually doing it to get free phone calls, it's not the 70s or 80s anymore. Phone calls are cheap, 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 long distance. Through my one VoIP carrier is 1.3 cents a minute. Long distance through AT&T on a business plan is less than 3 cents a minute. I mean, this is ridiculously cheap stuff. The Folgers cards, you know, you get one free. And even if you want to get more than one free, it's still long distance is cheap. It's not like it costs you $20 for one phone call anymore.
Which it did back in the 60s.
Oh, yeah, easily. I mean, at $1.25 a minute in 1968 dollars, which would be roughly like $5 a minute today. You know, long distance.
Dude, I better be getting some hardcore phone sex on the other line there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Today,
you
can go back
ahead,
to the 60s by dialing 900 numbers and paying them at those rates, but...
we're sorry, the number is... actually, if you want, I believe BlakeOps.com, he has a bunch of old Bell System ads, and one of the ads he has is on, like, you know, a 10-minute call to Hawaii, and I think it's like $5.85 or something. It's a fair chunk of cash, especially taking into account it was back in, like, you know, mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how much it cost in there. And even back then, people used to do it, and I'm not going to say the people didn't do it, but if you listen to phonetrips.com, I believe it was the 914 routing tape that Evan Doorbell basically said, basically, you know, when I turned 16 and everything, and I finally realized what the hell I was doing, I basically made an agreement to myself saying, I want to pay for phone service. But at the same point, I wanted to have fun. So what he just used to do is basically he used to route local calls, all kinds of over crazy stuff.
And just route them to intercept, so they're never supervised.
Mm-hmm. Well, what he used to do is basically, to the 914 tape, he basically routed a phone call that would cost like 8.5 cents for a unlimited phone call. But he like routed it like up through upper state New York, back down through New York, through New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. Back into New York City, and then back to Bell Harbor.
Yeah. So, I mean, even then, that's a little bit questionable. But at the same time, I mean, I wanted to pay for phone service. I just wanted to route phone calls fun ways.
And even if they did supervise, you didn't think the phone company was gonna put him in jail for ripping off a call that costs 8.2 cents.
Exactly.
You know, at very worst, he'd get his phone cut off for a bit.
And I mean that's a questionable thing. But like, you know, you see people out there and they like, you know, find ways of just ripping off the system and making these cross country calls. That's just, you know, it's silly. And my view on the whole thing is, if you want to play on the network, you gotta pay the little ticket fee, the entrance fee.
Mm-hmm.
You must be this tall to ride the phone system. Any more on that?
Well, it's juvenile, basically. I mean, unless you are, if you're a kid starving for money, you know, ask your parents, can I make a phone call? And also, I guess I'll segue into something else which happened on the forum, which on the forum, people are getting all hissy and all worked up over... over me coughing. Over,
yeah, obviously. I always really pisses me off when you do that on the radio show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. I'm sorry, I'm making you all sick via IP. Cold over IP, coip.
Yeah, no, I was going to say doip, disease over IP.
Doip, yeah, I like doip better. But anyway, no, there's a post about how someone ran a Tor node at Rose Holman University from their dorm room. Someone ran a Tor exit node, and something got hacked from that Tor exit node, and now Rose Holman is taking disciplinary action against the person who ran the exit node on their network. And everyone on the forum is going crazy. Oh no, this is the end of Tor. This is the end of Tor as we know it, because several universities run Tor, and those exit nodes are going to go away, and OMG, woe is us. We're in a lot of trouble. But the problem... you know, really, the way I see it, at least, is first off, the universities like MIT that are running their own Tor exit nodes, that's an official university-sanctioned exit node on their high bandwidth connection, whereas the one that generated the hub at Rose Holman was someone's dorm room. You know, they set up a Tor node in their dorm room. And despite the fact that the guy, you know, read the accessible use policy and took precautions to kind of make sure that the Tor node would satisfy certain requirements of the accessible use policy. Like, for example, he turned off IRC and he limited the quota to 800 megabytes a day. He
turned off peer-to-peer.
Yeah.
I mean, he did cover his bases. I will give him props for that.
Mm-hmm. But the thing that, you know, that everyone seems to be overlooking is it didn't seem like he asked, can I put this on the network? I think this is a gray area. It's uncertain. I'm not really sure whether it's acceptable. Hey, can I put this in my dorm room? Can I put this on the network? And, you know, if the university says, yes, you can, you know, let's review it. Let's work together. Let's, you know, oh, here we go. Yeah, it looks good to us. Put it on your network. Go ahead. Then all is fine. But if you just decide, I think this kind of sounds like something I can do, and throw it on the network without asking, and then something bad happens, oh, boy, are you in deep shit.
Yes. I mean, for the longest time, my university restricted outbound SSH, because I apparently someone, like, you know, tried to hack Tor the CIA and back in the, like, mid-90s, and people got really, really scared, so they basically cut down everything. And, you know, when I started freshman year, I, you know, found out, oh, I can't SSH out. But there was a loophole that I could get around, but we will get into that. It was basically, there was two things. You couldn't SSH out of the residential network, but you could SSH out of the academic network. So what I used to do is I used to SSH into the academic network to one of the College of Computer Science computers, and at which point I could SSH out to wherever the hell I wanted. But it was annoying, so I went to I wrote a letter to the network administrator. I actually wrote a physical on-paper letter saying, you know, I'd be very interested in doing SSH. I'm curious why you have this block. I know it's your network, blah, 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 blah. You know, basically, I kissed his ass. I will admit it, but, you know, at the same point, hey, it's his network, his rules. And, you know, he was very kind. He was, you know, he called me back into his, he called me first, and we talked on the phone for a bit. And he said, like, you know, this is just, it's a policy. We're not going to change it right now. You know, sorry, but, you know, your letter was very nice, but we're not going to change. And I said, okay, that's cool, whatever. I just wanted to know. And about, you know, 2 years later, apparently they wanted to rewrite the acceptable use policy and just, you know, open all this stuff. And I got he called me into his office and he said, hey, would you like to be on this committee? We're looking for students. And I said, well, fuck yeah. And, you know, I helped rewrite the acceptable use policy. And basically made it so that SSH could be out, along with other things,
mm-hmm.
like Napster. And, oh, boy, did I regret that one. they basically just opened a lot of stuff up, except for, like, explicitly naughty things. And when Napster came out and the whole peer-to-peer craziness took off, oh, God, the network was just so slow. Oh, they used to kill the interconnection. You'd be at, like, 110% capacity at, like, a 34-megabit connection. Oh, man. Disgusting.
Mm-hmm. And the thing really is, you know, the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. The legislation or the policy or however it's written up, you know, obviously there are certain things they are prohibiting and there are certain things they're allowing. But you have to read beyond what it actually says, and you basically, the gist of a lot of these acceptable use policies is, hey, here's a network. We're letting you use it. A lot of other people are using it too. Don't fuck it up for everyone else too.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't seem to realize it. They just think, oh, no, they're trying to oppress us.
What? You mean I can't download tons about gigs econ gigs of porn? How dare you?
Yeah, like, I mean, I was at my college the other day, and I was in the library, and I brought my laptop, and they have an internet connection that students are free to use. And I was there, and I was running something, and I thought, oh, I wonder, you know, if I should do an upgrade on my Linux box while I'm here, just because, you know, I haven't upgraded this laptop in a while. So I did an apt-get update, and, you know, the connection speed was really slow. And so, you know, obviously they don't want you to download tons of stuff, and that's fine. And so I said, okay, I can live with this. You know, I'll update my Linux box later. I'm trying to find that posting because somebody said something interesting, which I want to bring up.
Yeah, what a lot of people, basically what a lot of stuff boils down to is use your common sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what everything just sort of fills into.
Here it is. Someone wrote, this in response to one of my posts, someone wrote, the spirit of the law is keeping the proletariat in their place through 24/7 tracking. And honestly, I mean, come on.
Fuck yeah, fuck the proletariat, Jesus
yeah.
Christ. They owe me money.
But come on, I mean, it sounds like he's 15 and he just read 1984 for the first time and he feels, you know, very erudite saying proletariat.
Is his name Dr. Zeta
A? No, his name is not Dr. Zeta A.
Oh, damn. I'm going to find out who that is.
Yeah,
Sorry, Dr. Zeta A. Just, I'm sorry, it sounded like you.
Yeah. And, so,
hey,
yeah.
You know,
it basically boils down to don't be an asshat and learn to recognize when you are being one.
Yes, Low Tech Mystic says, tonight's topic is don't be a buddy fucker. There we go. Thank you, Low Tech. What do you think about Stoner?
I'm thinking I'm looking at this bowl of cereal that I'm tempting to eat for the past hour. No, well, it's true, but I'm not going to. Yeah, generally, just don't be an ass. Ask yourself, hey, if this person was right here and I'm going to get punched in the face if he knows that I'm doing it, I mean, that just don't do it.
That's a great rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and the other
right? I mean, keep it simple.
Mm-hmm. There's a point, you know, there's a point you have in the show notes here. You know, everyone can be stupid once, but it takes a real person, a real mature person, to stop being stupid.
Yes, actually, I said it takes a real person. You got the actual idea of what I was trying to point across.
Mm-hmm.
None of these fake people can actually stop doing it.
Yeah.
Those
bluff dolls, they just keep hacking away nonstop.
I was thinking about the Cylons, but okay, like Boomer. Boomer.
Oh, that's what I wanted to say earlier. Okay, so
Boomer's hot? Yeah.
Yeah, that too. Damn, how'd you know? No, I was visiting a friend who worked at the Cyber Cafe, and I was poking around, and for some reason they left open access to Notepad, and basically through Notepad I pwned their entire network. And I realized that from my vantage point, so I could get, they had networked their cash register into the LAN, which was on the same subnet as the rest of the pay-per-use terminals. So I told this guy, I was like, hey, listen, I'd love to come and talk to you just about your general security. You know, it's pretty bad. And I don't want any money. I just want to say, hey, what's up here? This is how to fix it. And the guy told my friend, no, I don't want to talk to him, which I could not believe. His response was, what do I care if a couple smart kids can figure out how to break into the computers? And their idea was they were secure because they had those every night at midnight they would reload an image of the hard drive so that they weren't really susceptible to viruses. But this was a network-level attack. Yeah. So my question is it ethical to raise alarms and tell the consumer public, hey, this guy doesn't take your security seriously. He just completely writes it off. And I think why I'm so pissed off is because the day after I went and talked to him, he was in our local newspaper under one of the top five entrepreneurs this month in San Diego. But every time I go to the mall and I walk by that little store, I just grumble under my breath that every one of them is probably getting pwned.
Honestly, and that actually brings up a great situation, something I completely overlooked. Always, of course, when you're doing this, you always got to watch your back because some people... even worse than this guy, say, oh, my God, you hacksawed my network. You illegal person, you. And at the same point, you're just wanting to help out. So, I mean, Arlie, just always cover your goddamn ass. But at the same point, when you posed a very interesting situation. What do you do when something happens like this? And I'm personally all for, you know, ring the bell, write the local newspapers, you know, make a little press release, start your own little security company, you know. Ratchet Computer Services, Inc., and make a nice little press release saying, this company is basically leaving themselves open to wide attack, owning your credit card. Hey, you know, dress it up a little bit. Be like the National Enquirer. Put a little dress on it and make it sound sexy. So
yeah, Fox would eat it up.
Dude, man, you can everything. It's sort of like, you know, just, but also at the same point, you also want to be careful about back in the thing of, you know, if you publicly out this guy, you may start, like, you know, he may start saying, oh, he broke into my network, he stole credit cards, he downloaded pictures of women fucking dogs, I don't know.
Right, it's a short hop to extortion at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yes.
it is, and I mean, it's a very difficult situation to be in.
So,
but
I guess...
The basic gist of it is really, you know, it's okay to make a mistake once, but if you don't learn from your mistakes... That's the problem.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you bury your head in the sand and turn your back towards it saying, la, 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 only smart kids will stop me. Well, criminals are smart, too. I
mean, yes. Well, for the most part.
Well, some of them.
And, yeah. It's the whole thing is just, it's silly. And honestly, I'm gonna say, you know, if you really want to get into this, go send it over to Emmanuel at 2600. He'll run with us like there's no tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
he loves showboating. Right. Anyway.
Announcements?
Announcements.
This is
the last time we're announcing this, I think, until it says otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Binrub Eating, Southern California, Victorville, Hesperia, Apple Valley, blah, 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 blah. KahlessPlusMeeting@gmail.com. KAHLESS plus sign, MEETING @gmail.com.
Merck might be setting up a BinRev meeting in the 301/202 area code. That's for Washington, D.C. and its suburbs in Maryland. Email merck@twatech.org for more information or if you want to help. Shouts. I'll give a shout-out to my little sister, actually, who is listening to our stream live.
God, she is?
She is, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, actually, no, she's like... Yeah, I believe we actually had the discussion before. She's of an acceptable age to me, so
yeah,
she can be
13.
Listening. Yeah, if you're below 13, that's one of those things. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with listening to this show,
mm-hmm.
especially with my potty mouth.
Yes.
Acceptable age to me. That just sounded really bad.
Because we tend to say fuck shit piss a lot on here, so.
Fucking cat sex. God help the cat sex. Hey, but my shouts are to Dr. Zygmunt for screening the phone calls, although he only had like 2 phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, good job.
Yeah, shouts to Dr. Zygmunt. That's awesome. It's so wonderful
here.
Finally having someone to really screen our calls.
And shouts.
Yay!
And shouts to Stoner for coming on, Stoner Savant.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure to have you, man.
Who do you have shouts out to, Stoner?
I would have to say my roommates for patiently and quietly standing by as I do this entire interview and trying to make me laugh in any way possible.
what are roommates for?
Exactly. And 7-Eleven, because they have the caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you're on the West Coast. It's like, you know, 7:51 out there.
I know. And
you don't need caffeine that early.
Yes, you do.
What are you talking about?
Oh, man. I'm sorry. Right around that time, I'm hitting my prime. I'm all set.
I'm on cup 8 or so.
I guess if you know anything. I guess I just got shouts to Dr. Zygmunt this week. I don't think I have anyone else. Shout for Low Tech Mystic for the whole don't fuck your buddy or whatever it is.
Be a buddy fucker.
Don't be a buddy fucker.
Yeah, that's it, buddy fucker.
Word.
Thank you.
That's my new catchphrase. Don't be a buddy fucker.
Well, you probably are, but...
Watch this space for the pone alarm. The pone alert. What do we call it?
The ponometer.
The ponometer. Doesn't that sound like porn?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
we'll get a nice little cross-pollination there. People will think it's porn and come on over.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'll sell it to Fyodor on Insecure, and he can pimp out our porn, our hacker porn part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I think it's haxxxer.net or something like that. It's
Haxor. Oh, yeah, haxxxor.
Haxor, that's what it is. Thank you. Sorry, you can tell.
Girls
it's
getting
like
naked
this,
talking about Nmap. It's the most surreal thing ever.
The OSI 7-layer striptease, and I'll leave it at that.
I want to get down to the physical layer myself.
Yeah. Our side of the week is tastytechie.com from SCADA, and it's a really cool concept. It's a blog about food for hackers.
Yes, 15 million different recipes, including ramen. No, not really. Actually, he had some good recipes up there. We'll just sort of leave it at that and let everyone go over to it. That's tastytechy.com. Oh, email.
Yeah, radio@binrev.com.
Yeah, I always say that. You can actually say that this week.
Okay.
What's our closing music?
Our closing music is... I've misplaced it. Hold on just a second. It is from epitonic.com. Last week I said epitonic, but I meant ocremix.org. This is actually from epitonic. This is a band called Synapse, and it's called Stealing Science. It seems pretty cool.
Science!
You blinded me with science!
Dude, we need some Tom Dolby on here. Too bad those things are probably copyrighted.
Yeah.
Let's just get a sound clip of the guy saying, science!
Well, I'm sure just a sound clip wouldn't be all that wrong.
Yeah. And hopefully when my asterisk box comes off, I can have the soundboard working again.
Yes.
Yeah, right. All right. So, as always, we will see you next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel. I'm sorry.
Thank you.